Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Monday, December 17th. Coming up this hour,
Theresa May pushes back against a second referendum on Brexit.
Italy's lenders reach a deal to send a revised budget proposal to the EU.
Malaysia files criminal charges against Goldman Sachs for its role in the 1MDB scandal.
Rudy Giuliani says President Trump will sit down for an interview with Robert Mueller over his dead body. And Chuck Schumer says President Trump will not get a border wall in any form. I'm Pat Carroll. Those stories straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Giants shut out at home by Tennessee. Knicks and Rangers both lost. The Nets won. The Mets signed catcher Wilson Ramos.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
I'm Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
And U.S. futures erasing earlier gains while European equities fall. It is now 5:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets for you every 15 minutes throughout the trading day right here on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 3 points right now. That's 0.1% higher. The Dow futures up 16. And the Nasdaq E-mini futures 12 points higher. That's up 0.2%. We're seeing a lift to the euro this morning, 113.29. That's up 0.2% against the U.S. dollar. Pound sterling at 126 even. That is up 0.1% this morning. The benchmark 10-year yield in the U.S. 2.88% as the price declines by 2/32. A bid to NYMEX crude this morning. It is up 6 cents a barrel at $51.26. Brent is up 3 cents at $60.31 a share. Nathan.
John, we begin in Asia today, where stocks posted modest gains to begin the week. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us with details from our Singapore Bureau. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and John. Markets in Japan, India and Australia were among the best bid, the ASX 200 gaining 1% in Sydney, boosted by gains in heavyweight BHP, which announced a special $1.02 dividend. Tech shares boosted the Kospi in Seoul, while mainland Chinese stocks closed off the lows of the day, the CSI 300 losing 0.2% as healthcare players dragged. Chinese auto stocks were also among the laggards, as investors assess China's confirmation it will remove the tit-for-tat duty on American-made car imports. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thanks. In Italy, the Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte has reached a deal with populist leaders to submit a revised budget proposal to the EU. It includes a lowered deficit target of 2.04% in a bid to avert fines against Italy. Bloomberg macro strategist Mark Cudmore.
This probably puts us in a good vibe on Italian assets for the next couple of months, but I think probably towards the end of first quarter next year, we're going to start getting the real hard data in. And I think that will probably show that Italy's debt pile is continuing to grow. So I don't think that the Italian problem has gone away permanently, but it might be kind of put away for the next few months. I think it might be a topic again for the second half of next year.
And separately, we're getting euro area inflation data out just now, with the reading for November revised down to 1.9%. That's from an original reading of 2%.
Now, with concerns about trade clouding the outlook for global growth, investors get clues on the path of policy from the Federal Reserve this week when the central bank issues its rate decision Wednesday. Bloomberg's Michael McKee reports.
Traders and economists say the Fed will pull the trigger on another interest rate increase this week. Low unemployment, rising wages, and strong retail sales telling the central bankers inflation pressures remain. The question is, what happens in 2019? For that, we'll turn to the new dot plot of Fed rate forecasts. In September, the median dot suggested 3 moves next year. The economists surveyed by Bloomberg see 2 hikes, while the markets are barely pricing in 1. Chairman Jay Powell's news conference will be critical as he sets the tone and offers explanations for the bank's updated forecast. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Mike. UK Prime Minister Theresa May will attack supporters of a second Brexit referendum today as she explains to Parliament why European Union leaders rebuffed her attempt to make her divorce deal more attractive to lawmakers. May, who accused the former Prime Minister Tony Blair of undermining her negotiations by pushing for a second vote, will say it would be a catastrophic breach of trust.
Malaysia has filed criminal charges now against Goldman Sachs over bond sales involving 1MDB. We get details from Bloomberg's Stephanie Fang in Singapore.
These charges are the first criminal charges against Goldman since it was embroiled in the 1MDB scandal. And they're related to the bond sales that Goldman arranged for 1MDB. The accusations are pretty strongly worded. Goldman allegedly misrepresented to investors that proceeds from these bond sales would be used for legitimate purposes.
And Goldman Sachs says it will vigorously defend against the charges it believes they are misdirected.
And Nissan's board is meeting to choose a successor to the former chairman, Carlos Ghosn, though the gathering in Yokohama may end with no clear decision. Let's get details in this report from Bloomberg's Kurumi Mori.
The directors may postpone a decision on a successor to Carlos Ghosn as chairman of Nissan and instead focus on setting up the governance committee, which basically means they will look into how this all happened in the first place. Up to this point, we all know Carlos Ghosn has been the center of attention, but now the focus is starting to shift on Nissan. Sources say the indictments raise questions about Nissan's corporate governance, and so the attention is on Nissan's chief executive, Hiroto Saikawa, and so much so that analysts say his job as CEO may now be on the line.
Well, Nissan is also facing fines for misleading investors about how much it was paying Carlos Ghosn.
In Europe, shares of British retailer ASOS are down about 40%. The company cut its sales growth outlook after a significant deterioration in November. That's sparking concern that slowing retail growth in the UK is spreading from brick-and-mortar stores to online sellers.
And U.S. healthcare stocks could be poised for an ugly session after Friday's ruling that Obamacare is unconstitutional. While a lot of analysts expect the decision to be reversed by the higher courts, the news adds volatility to the sector. Centene and Molina Healthcare could bear the brunt of the sell-off given their exposure to Medicaid and Obamacare markets. And ahead of the cash market open on Wall Street, S&P futures right now up 3 points. The Dow futures are up 16, and the Nasdaq E-mini futures are 10 points higher. 10-year yield in the U.S., 2.88%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thank you, John. It is now 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's get the latest world and national news now. For that, we turn to Bloomberg's Pat Carroll. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, Nathan. President Trump won't be sitting down with special counsel Robert Mueller, says his lawyer, Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck. After what they did to Flynn, the way they trapped him into perjury, and no sentence for him, 14 days for Papadopoulos, I did better on traffic violations than they did with Papadopoulos.
So when you say good luck, you're saying no way, no interview.
They're a joke over my dead body, but, you know, I could be dead.
Giuliani spoke to Fox News Sunday as heard on Bloomberg Radio. The White House has sent written answers to the special counsel's questions about possible collusion. With a government shutdown looming, Maine Republican Senator Susan Collins says there's no excuse to shut down the government over a border wall or any other issue.
There's a compromise and people will come to the table in good faith on both sides. We have to prevent a government shutdown.
The White House is demanding Congress provide $5 billion for a wall. Collins spoke on ABC's This Week, as heard on Bloomberg Radio. Legal experts say the ruling wiping out Obamacare may not be resolved in the courts before 2020, which could make it a defining issue in that election for president and Congress. The current law remains in effect for now. President Trump tweeted that he will review the case of a former Special Forces officer, an Afghanistan war veteran, facing a murder charge in the death of a detainee suspected of being a Taliban bomb maker. Former Vice President Joe Biden leads the pack among likely Democratic caucus goers in Iowa, according to a CNN Des Moines Register poll. It shows Biden leading among a field of 20 potential candidates, followed by Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders and Texas Representative Beto O'Rourke. Leaders from 190 countries have brokered a climate deal at a UN summit in Poland. British naturalist Sir David Attenborough spoke, urging world leaders to take action before it's too late.
Right now, we're facing a man-made disaster of global scale.
The rulebook allows countries to put into action the principles in the 2015 Paris Climate Change Accord, which the Trump administration has promised to abandon. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Pat Carroll. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Pat, thank you. It's 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, the Giants began the year 1-7, then suddenly went 4-1 with talk of slim playoff hopes. Those were certainly dashed in the heavy rain at MetLife Stadium. The Giants thoroughly whipped by Tennessee, 17-0. Derrick Henry rushed for 170 yards and two touchdowns. He has over 400 yards, six TDs in the Titans' last two games. Saquon Barkley could never get it going. Only 31 yards and two costly first half turnovers by Eli Manning.
Give credit to Tennessee. Their defense, they played well. They did a good job stopping the run on early downs. And then, the few times we finally, got some drives going. We just either had negative plays or had penalties or had something go wrong where we just couldn't sustain the drives and keep things going. So they played well. We didn't execute well enough. We didn't make the plays we need to make, and they just outplayed.
Upset last night in L.A., the Eagles, after losing quarterback Carson Wentz, have become a near two-touchdown underdog. But Nick Foles, who came off the bench last season for Wentz, led Philly to the Super Bowl, led the Eagles past the Rams, 30-23. NBA saw the Knicks go down at Indiana, 110-99. That's the Pacers' eighth straight win. The Knicks' seventh loss in the last eight. They got 20 points, 15 rebounds from Enes Kanter. At Barclays, D'Angelo Russell scored 32. Brooklyn overwhelmed Atlanta, 144-127. The Nets have won five straight. Matinee at the Garden. Rangers lost in overtime to Vegas, 4-3. The Mets have their catcher, not JT Realmuto, who they had hoped to acquire from Miami. Instead, they signed free agent Wilson Ramos. Good hitter when healthy. He's served time on the disabled list each of the last 4 years. The Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John. Thanks very much. Looking ahead to the open on Wall Street this morning. Futures contracts pointing just a touch higher now, with S&P futures up by 4 points. That's a gain of 0.1%. Dow futures also 0.1% higher, 26 points. NASDAQ futures up 15 points now. That's a gain of 0.2%. Price of the 10-year up 2/32, the yield at 2.88%. 2-year treasuries at 2.72%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Good Monday morning. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Here I'm John Tucker, the Bloomberg Newsroom, with this Bloomberg Business Flash. This on a day when stocks fell in Europe, U.S. equity futures kind of fluctuating at this point after a mixed session in Asia. Markets are again looking to the Federal Reserve for hints on just how volatile year-end may be. Treasury yields steadying just below 2.9%. The retailers leading declines in the Europe Stoxx 600 index. ASOS plunged after warning that its Christmas shopping season got off to a disastrous start. S&P futures right now, they're up 4 points. That's up 0.1%. The Dow futures up 21 points. That's up 0.1% right now. And the NASDAQ E-Money futures 15 points higher, up 0.2%. Volatility index, that's up 2%, 2208 on the VIX this morning. And we're seeing dollar weakness, euro 113.40, that's up 0.3%. Even the yen 113.31, that's up slightly against the dollar. British pound sterling 126.18, that's up 0.3%. Again, the 10-year yield 2.88%. The price is up by 2/32. And NYMEX crude up 20 cents a barrel at $51.40. We check the markets for you every 15 minutes during the trading day right here on Bloomberg Radio. I'm John Tucker. That is a Bloomberg Business Flash. And let's get news from around the world this morning. Once again, we say hello to Pat Carroll.
Good morning, John. Rudy Giuliani says President Trump will sit for an interview with special counsel Robert Mueller over his dead body. Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer says the president will not get his border wall in any form. Republican Susan Collins, though, says a compromise is possible to prevent a government shutdown. In sports, the NFL, the Giants were blanked by Tennessee. Jets lost to Houston. Patriots fell to Pittsburgh. Redskins beat Jacksonville. Ravens topped Tampa Bay. The 49ers edged out Seattle, and the Raiders lost to Cincinnati. Basketball, Nets beat Atlanta. Knicks lost to Indiana. Wizards beat the Lakers. And on the ice, the Rangers lost to Las Vegas, and the Bruins lost to Buffalo. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Pat Carroll. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Pat, thank you. Coming up on 520 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we're joined now on this Monday morning by Matt Maley, equity strategist at Miller Tabak. Always good to talk to you, Matt. We heard from John moments ago, mixed session in Asia, losses in Europe, U.S. futures sort of looking for direction this morning. Kind of wonder whether investors are still trying to shake off Friday and the losses then.
Yeah, that's certainly the case. I mean, we have so much uncertainty out there in the marketplace, not just on a fundamental basis with what's going on with the trade data or the trade war and the situation with the Federal Reserve or what's going on with Donald Trump and his investigations, things in Europe, et cetera. But we also have these wild swings intraday. Every single time we seem to want to have a rally, the market rolls back over in a major way where we've had 2-3% swings in a single day, and that just takes confidence away from investors. So I think people are trying to wait and see what happens. Now, having said that, I do think with the Federal Reserve coming up, the meeting coming up this week, and they've been pretty good about telegraphing what they're going to do, and I think they've telegraphed pretty well in the last 2 weeks or so that they're going to be more dovish. That might give us a little bit of a relief rally. The same of kind in the kind of 5-6% range we've already had twice this year. We had one in November. We had one in October. Now we can get one in December here that takes us back up towards that 2,800 level.
Yeah, we'll see if we can keep that positive. On the S&P, sure. I wonder, though, whether we can continue to count on the Fed to telegraph what it's going to do as it turns to this more data-driven mode as they head closer to a neutral rate.
Well, I mean, any time in the future, we could see them change their change on a dime. But I just one of the things that as the data changes, I mean, as I've always said over the years, is that the Fed is not just data dependent. I know they say that all the time, and they kind of try to deflect issues that they're market dependent. But I think they're very market dependent. I think we've seen that in the last couple of months, but we've also seen that in the years past, and we saw that during the taper tantrum way back in the 2 or 3 years ago, et cetera. So as the market changes, they come out in between meetings and kind of jawbone things, and I think they'll continue to do that. So I think we can rely on the Fed to tell us, telegraph things in advance.
Well, that said, as rough as the markets have been just in the last couple of weeks, are you saying that you think that there could be a possibility that the Fed decides not to raise rates this week?
No, I don't think so. I do. I just think it'll be more of a dovish tone. They'll talk about future rate hikes being, they've been saying the dot plots are telling them 4 rate hikes. I think they'll kind of telegraph that we could have less than that, something like 2. It'll be very, very interesting to see if they say something about about shrinking the balance sheet, the QT program. So we'll be watching very closely for any kind of dovish comments in that area. But I do think that even though they've telegraphed about being more dovish, they certainly have not telegraphed that they're going to move away from raising interest rates this week. So, in other words, I do think that they've telegraphed a rate hike today, this week, and I think it will come.
All right. We got about a minute left, Matt. I wonder why you think we might not necessarily be seeing a lot of movement in the market when it comes to some of the positive news we've been hearing of late. When it comes to the U.S.-China trade dispute, China does seem to be making quite a few concessions.
Well, the thing that some of the concessions they're making, though, are just really just going back on what they've already done. I mean, this issue with lowering their tariffs on automobiles and things like that, these are things just taking it back to the levels that they had 6 months ago. So they really aren't making the big kind of concessions. I mean, it's like the old thing, we have people with in the retail industry where they raise prices just before they put them on sale, where you're really not getting much of a deal. So what the problem is that what's going to happen on the intellectual property front, they seem to want to make no moves on that area. That seems to be an issue that the president wants to make at least some inroads on. So I think they get the real good news on that is going to be tough for people to believe in. And now that we're moved past the midterm elections, I think it's something that's going to take a while to really play out. The one thing I do believe, though, is I do wonder if the president, because of these investigations and things, will feel like he needs a victory and will get what he can and declare victory at some point. But I still think that would be months away.
Matt Milley is an equity strategist at Miller Tabak. Matt Milley, always good to talk to you. Thanks so much for being here on Bloomberg Daybreak. And futures contracts point to a modestly higher open this morning. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's brought to you by Brooks Brothers Holiday Sale, going on now. Find gifts for everyone on your list. As your one-stop gifting destination, Brooks Brothers has something to suit every style. Shop the holiday sale today in stores or online at brooksbrothers.com.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it is 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Global stocks are mixed this morning as we approach the end of the year. U.S. futures slightly higher, while Europe's stock 600 is down about 0.25%.
In the U.K., Theresa May pushing back against holding a second referendum on Brexit. And Bloomberg's Christine Burke reports.
The UK Prime Minister is due to brief Parliament today, and according to some excerpts of her speech, she basically said that any second referendum would be a catastrophic breach of trust. She went on to say it would further divide the country at the very moment that the UK government should be working to unite it.
Speculation has intensified about a second referendum since May withdrew a vote on her deal last week.
Malaysia has filed criminal charges against Goldman Sachs over bond sales involving 1MDB. The Malaysian government says Goldman made false statements and will seek fines of more than $3 billion.
And Bloomberg News has learned Renault is pushing Nissan Motor to call a shareholder meeting as soon as possible. Sources say the French automaker wants to discuss Nissan's indictment and board appointees.
Shares of British retailer Asos are down more than 40% in London. The company cut its sales growth outlook after a significant deterioration in November.
And here in the U.S., healthcare stocks could be poised for an ugly session after Friday's ruling that Obamacare is unconstitutional. While many analysts expect the decision to be reversed by higher courts, the news adds volatility to the sector.
Oracle reports earnings after the close of U.S. trading. Here with a preview is Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The analysts surveyed by Bloomberg see the database software company reporting adjusted earnings per share of 78 cents on revenue of $9.52 billion. Oracle is trying to become a powerhouse in web-based cloud computing. Questions on the conference call will likely surround the next phase of Oracle's cloud strategy after its product development president left for Google. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Charlie. And ahead of the open on Wall Street, S&P futures are up 6 points. That's up 0.2%. The Dow futures up 41 points. That is up 0.2%. NASDAQ E-mini futures right now, 20 points higher. That's up 0.3%. Seeing dollar weakness across the board this morning. The euro 113.37. That is up 0.3%. The yen, 113.34, up slightly against the dollar. And pound sterling, 126.10. That is up 0.2% against the greenback. NYMEX crude is up 0.75%, up 39 cents a barrel, $51.59. You're listening to Bloomberg Radio.
All right, John, thank you. It's 5:33 on Wall Street. Now let's find out more of what's happening around the world with Bloomberg's Pat Carroll.
Thanks, Nathan. Rudy Giuliani vows President Trump won't sit for an interview with special counsel Robert Mueller. The president's attorney told Fox News Sunday, heard on Bloomberg Radio, that Trump will sit down with Mueller, quote, over my dead body. With the threat of a government shutdown Friday, the White House is insisting Congress provide $5 billion to build a border wall. But Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer says that's not happening.
President Trump should understand there are not the votes for the wall. In the House or the Senate, he is not going to get the wall in any form.
Maine Republican Senator Susan Collins says there's no need to shut down the government over the wall or any issue.
Keep in mind that the president's budget this year had $1.6 $8 billion for the wall. And the broader security package was $2.5 billion that we worked out with Homeland Security to meet the other parts of border security, which are at least equally important.
Schumer spoke on NBC's Meet the Press and Collins on ABC's This Week, both heard on Bloomberg Radio. What would happen in a shutdown? Six of 15 government departments, about three-quarters of discretionary spending, are funded through September 30th of 2019. A partial shutdown would hit the Securities and Exchange Commission, Homeland Security, Treasury, Justice, and Interior. More than 420,000 federal employees would work without pay. More than 380,000 would be sent home. The Trump White House is getting a slow-motion facelift. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The president, for the moment, has solved his chief of staff position after spending a month trying to find somebody who would take the job. He settled on budget director Mick Mulvaney as acting chief. Then late last week, EPI head Ryan Zinke resigned after months of criticism from the president. Next on the list, sources say, is probably Homeland Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen, who's also faced criticism over border control. And the latest murmurs are the Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross, although he is reportedly pushing hard to stay. The president says the White House is a happy place. It is getting new faces. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Pat Carroll. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Pat. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, a lot of Giants fans skipped yesterday's game, opting not to sit in the driving rain. Wise choice. Those that went had virtually nothing to cheer for. Giants shut out at home. First time in 5 years. Titans beat Pat Shermer's team 17-0.
Didn't do anything well enough to expect to win. We didn't make plays. We didn't run the ball. We didn't stay on the field on offense. We had penalties. So we didn't play well enough there. I thought on defense, you know, they ran the ball. We didn't tackle as well as we did in the last few weeks, you know, which extended drives for them, and they beat us. You know, we had a turnover there that turned into points, you know, and it was a close game, and we just didn't find any heat. When you don't get in the end zone, you can't win.
So forget the playoffs. The other three teams in the NFC East are in a battle. The Cowboys got shut out at Indianapolis. The Redskins won at Jacksonville last night. The Eagles upset the Rams 30-23. So Dallas now leads Washington and Philly by only one game. Patriots still haven't clinched their division. A second straight loss, 17-10 at Pittsburgh. Steelers stayed just ahead of Baltimore. The Chicago Bears, first division title since 2010. Their first home win over Green Bay since 2009. Latest Knicks loss, 110-99 at Indiana. Pacers won 8 in a row. Knicks have lost 7 of 8. The Nets winning streak reached 5, 144-127 over Atlanta. The Garden Rangers lost in overtime to Vegas 4-3. St. John's now 10-0. With a win over Wagner. The Mets checked another box for the offseason. They needed a catcher. They signed free agent Wilson Ramos. Several years in Washington, split last season with Tampa Bay, and the Phillies batted over 300, but Ramos has battled injuries for several years. The Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Thank you, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. The cover story, Bitcoin. We also have a different perspective on Brexit in this week's issue. John Freyer wrote that story for Bloomberg Business Week.
What I tried to do with this piece was to essentially take a look 10 years out from now and imagine and think through some of the consequences of what sort of country Britain might become after Brexit.
Read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com. Or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now and listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly. Weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio. Coming up on 5:38 on Wall Street, time for the Tri-State Business Report. Good Monday morning, Bloomberg's Joan Doniger.
Good morning, Nathan. Amazon, it turns out, is not the only big tech firm investing in New York City. Google says in a blog post it will put more than $1 billion into capital improvements to set up a new campus in Hudson Square. It has lease agreements in that area and now will have the capacity to more than double staff in the city over the next decade. One of the attractions Amazon visited before making its decision to put part of its HQ2 in Long Island City, Cornell Tech, the Roosevelt Island-based grad school that started 5 years ago with just 7 students, Now it's one of the emblems of the city's tech center. The Economic Times says the school's graduates and researchers have put their ideas into more than 50 startup companies. A Connecticut community college getting some national recognition. The News Times reports the Advanced Manufacturing Technology Center at Naugatuck Valley Community College is one of 10 national finalists for the 2019 Bellwether Award in the area of workforce development. With the Tri-State Business Report, I'm Joan Doniger. Nathan?
All right, Joan, thanks very much. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WBBM in Chicago, we're watching shares of all states after the longest string of losses since 2001.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, I'm talking about Molina Healthcare, pegged as one facing the biggest hit on any Obamacare unraveling.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're following a warning from online retailer ASOS. The Christmas shopping season got off to a disastrous start.
This is Joan Doniger telling WWJ listeners in Detroit about new troubles for automakers outside the U.S.
I'm Andrew O'Day on 1010 Winds in New York. I'm reporting on Google's $1 billion expansion plan for its Hudson Square campus.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Now at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time, the New York Fed issues its regional factory index for December. Economists say the data will probably signal slower growth. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
The prior Empire State Factory Index rose to the highest level since August. We may not see that again anytime soon. Manufacturers face headwinds. The trade war with China, rising interest rates. Data issued last week indicated nationwide factory output may be slowing. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. S&P futures 4 points higher at the moment. Dow futures ahead by 26. NASDAQ futures up 14 points. This is Daybreak. Brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy. Open a JCF fund now to lock in a 2018 tax deduction. Visit jcfny.org.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And it is now 5:47 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker, and this on a morning when the futures in the U.S. are slightly higher. S&P futures up 4 points. That's up 0.2%. The Dow futures up 22 points. That's up 0.1%. And the Nasdaq E-mini futures 15 points higher. That's up 0.2%. With the Federal Reserve seen raising interest rates this week for a fourth time this year, Jerome Powell, the chairman, his remarks will be closely studied for suggestions on the future path. Global growth forecast for next year being trimmed as the trade war between the biggest economy bites. Markets also reel from a volatile 2018. And the 10-year Treasury this morning, it is at 2.88. The price is up by 2/32. We're seeing dollar weakness. Euro 1.1338. That's up 0.3% against the greenback. The yen is at 1.1332. And British pound sterling 1.2607. That is up 0.2%. NYMEX crude is on the rise right now, up about 1%, up 48 cents a barrel at 51.68. The international benchmark, Brent, right now, 69 cents higher. That's up 1.2% at 60.97. And we have COMEX gold up $2.10 at 1243.40. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day right here on Bloomberg Radio. That is Bloomberg Business Flash. And now with more on what's going on around the world, here's Pat Carroll.
Thanks, John. His lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, says President Trump would sit for an interview with Robert Mueller, quote, over my dead body. Democratic Senate leader Chuck Schumer says the votes are not there in the House or Senate for President Trump's border wall. Sports in the NFL. The Giants were blanked by Tennessee. The Jets lost to Houston. The Patriots fell to Pittsburgh. Redskins beat Jacksonville. Ravens topped Tampa Bay. 49ers edged out Seattle, and the Raiders lost to Cincinnati. Basketball, the Nets beat Atlanta. Knicks lost to Indiana. Wizards beat the Lakers. On the ice, the Rangers lost to Las Vegas, and the Bruins lost to Buffalo. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Pat Carroll.
This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Pat, thank you. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it's 5:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform that offers informed perspectives on a range of global topics, expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. And joining us from our London Bureau, Bloomberg Opinion editor Jennifer Ryan. Jen, let's start with the breaking news out of Malaysia, where Goldman Sachs now is facing criminal charges in the 1MDB scandal. The investment bank pocketed hefty fees by helping 1MDB sell bonds. And Andy Mukherjee is indicating in his piece this morning that it's not just Goldman that should be worried. Who else does Mukherjee say should be concerned here?
Mukherjee says this development really ought to send shivers down the spines of both the banking and advisory industries and emerging markets, where working on government mandates is really a ticket to prominence in a lot of cases, and it leads to a much coveted bump in league table rankings. It's worth pointing out that making real money from state-sponsored deals, as Goldman did in Malaysia, is kind of more the exception than the norm.
Yeah, and I guess this isn't the first time where a run-in with a government has ruined a reputation.
Yes, you're exactly right. So one recent example is South Africa, where global firms such as KPMG and Bain have paid a big price for unethical conduct during Jacob Zuma's 9-year rule. But the penalties that these firms can suffer in the sort of court of public opinion and amongst investors can really be mixed. I mean, Goldman's secret 2001 loan to Greece, which helped the country hide its true financial position when seeking to join the euro area, that sort of blew over. But the 1MDB episode is being taken far more seriously by investors. Mukherjee points out that Goldman shares are down 32% so far this year, and most of that decline has occurred since May. That's when there was an election upset in Malaysia, which really blew the lid off of the scandal.
So in light of all that recent past, are any lessons being learned here?
Well, you've got to expect that the implications from this affair is going to extend beyond Goldman. But the question that Mukherjee says that everyone kind of needs to be asking themselves is which emerging market political risks are acceptable and which are beyond the pale. And if you're doing business in those regions, you need to have a solid answer to that question.
All right, let's move on to the other big breaking news of the morning. This monster profit warning from British retailer ASOS. Andrea Felstead writes that the billion-dollar loss is a nightmare before Christmas. Good line, but what does she mean?
The billion-dollar loss she's talking about is the decline, the results from the decline in the shares, which fell 35% at the open. The company itself cut its full-year sales growth forecast after seeing a significant deterioration in recent performance. And, you know, it's the first seasonal shocker that's come in the UK from retailers, and it really dragged the rest of the retail industry down along with it. A bunch of other internet retailers got dinged in the stock market. And it really defies the conventional wisdom, or is a worry about the conventional wisdom, which is that internet retailers, which ASOS is one of them, should be in a better position than beleaguered bricks and mortar stores when a squeeze on shopping comes.
Yeah, I mean, what's ailing UK retailers overall?
Well, the warm weather that we've been having lately doesn't really help, but consumer confidence is really rocky, and it's mostly because of the really serious political turmoil that we've been seeing. And, you know, if you see a retailer blame something like Brexit for poor sales, a lot of times you might start to think that that's kind of a convenient excuse. But this is for real, and senior retailers are saying it's as if somebody has come and switched the lights off.
So what's Felstead's warning for investors in online retail?
So if you go back to this point that I made earlier about the conventional wisdom that internet retailers can bear strains more easily, you have to remember that even these retailers need constant investment to deliver the most cutting-edge technology and defend themselves against competition, which is sort of endless. And so amidst this kind of situation, ASOS should actually do better compared to other British retailers because it's very easily available online and via mobile and has a really young and enthusiastic customer base. The likes of Marks and Spencer or Debenhams, which cater to older customers and have struggled to get their digital offering right, are really going to suffer. But overall, if ASOS is finding life tough, other chains are going to be having an even more miserable holiday. So there's going to be probably worse news to come.
All right. Merry Christmas. Bloomberg Opinion editor Jennifer Ryan, thanks as always. You can read more about this and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion. On the Bloomberg Terminal, customers can type in OPIN. Go, John.
Now I'm depressed. It's 5:54 on Wall Street. Time now for our Bloomberg Law Report. Now let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podolsky in the 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
Centene Corporation and Molina Health are the health insurers that would be hurt the most if a December 14th federal court ruling overturning Obamacare stands, according to a healthcare investment analyst. Fitbit is stuck in court after a Delaware judge refused to dismiss a shareholder suit alleging the company's board engaged in insider trading. And the largest online retailer in the U.S. isn't Amazon Retail. It is the Amazon Marketplace, the online giant's platform for third-party sellers. And going into next year, the marketplace will have to deal with new tax collection laws.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And now in other legal news, the Trump administration is digging deep into the court's rulebook, trying to speed up major issues to the Supreme Court and take advantage of its new conservative majority. For more on this story, June Grosso speaks with Bloomberg News Supreme Court reporter Greg Stuhr.
The administration is doing a couple things. First of all, it is asking the court on numerous occasions to stay lower court rulings. So we're talking about rulings involving putting a citizenship question on the census, involving a trial over challenging the government's climate change policy, most recently trying to let the president largely ban transgender people from the military. And then the second thing they're doing is they're asking the Supreme Court to hear arguments and have full-scale review on issues even before federal appeals courts have decided them, asking the Supreme Court to directly review decisions by federal trial judges. That's highly unusual, and in both cases, they're really trying to get the Supreme Court to jump in sooner rather than later to back the administration.
So what they're doing is trying to get around the ordinary rules, the procedures, and claiming urgency. But how can all these issues be urgent, and when does credibility start to be a problem?
Yeah, that's really a good question. There's a certain, at least in the mind of critics, boy that cried wolf sort of quality to this, where they say that every issue is urgent. Now, what the administration would say in response is that, look, we have some very aggressive federal trial judges around the country, and people are filing lawsuits. They're filing them in favorable courts, and these judges are issuing nationwide orders that block administration policies. So, for example, this issue that has cropped up recently involving the president's effort to largely ban transgender people from the military, one judge is able to say, not just for the plaintiffs in that particular case, is able to say nationwide, no, the president cannot do that. And the administration says our only recourse is to move it up the appeals court ladder to the Supreme Court as quickly as possible.
That's Bloomberg News Supreme Court reporter Greg Stuhr speaking with June Grosso. And you can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. Nathan.
All right. Thanks, John. It's a morning where futures contracts appear to be looking for direction ahead of the open this morning. S&P futures ahead by just 1 point at the moment. Dow futures down a point. NASDAQ futures up 6 points. That's a gain of about a 10%. Price of the 10-year treasury up 2/32. The yield 2.88%. 2-year treasuries at 2.72%. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.